So I can't hardly believe it, but today is our last Sunday before Christmas Day. And every week, right? Every week we have been counting down in a very special way here in worship. One of those ways is we've been looking at different symbols and images, and every week they've ended up on our little Christmas tree. And what's happened is now when we look at that tree, all of these different pictures and images tell us the story of God's presence with us, each one meaning something different. And every week we've lit a candle in our Advent wreath. And so the very first week that we met, we talked about getting ready, getting our hearts ready, and carrying that spark of hope, hope for something better. And that hope has burned every single week of our Advent celebration. The second week, we looked at the eight-pointed star to remind us to repent, to turn, and to have faith. Faith that God could change and transform our lives. And we know that God offers new and abundant life for all of us. The third candle is my favorite because it's the only pink candle. Last week, we heard the story of Mary who found joy. Joy in realizing Jesus was coming into this world. And so that third week, that third candle reminds us of joy that finds us often unexpectedly. And finally, this last week, we light this last candle as a reminder of the peace and love that we find through Jesus Christ. I have a different kind of symbol or image for us today. I want to see how many of you might know what this is. We'll see. You might have seen this around. So have you ever seen the letters I, H? Now that says C, which is, I'll explain that in a second. But I, H, and S you will often see sometimes on altars. And actually in this picture, you can see it's on a gravestone. And so I want to hear from you. Pop quiz. If you want to get your phones out and go to menti.com and use the code 153471 and weigh in. So does IHS mean in his service? Is an abbreviation of the name that's different lettering that says Jesus. In hoc signo vincis, in this sign you will win. Or the honest answer might be no idea at all. It's okay. No shame in that. So if you want to weigh in, we should be able to see. We'll see what y'all think. It is 153471. So if you go to menti.com, you can put in the numbers 153471, and it'll give you four choices. And yes, you just click on which of those choices you want to pick. All right, so we've got three people who are putting in his service, four people, two people on the abbreviation, one has no idea at all. God love you. Good job, that's okay. Okay, two people, three people, no idea, seven people in his service. I'm going to give you just a few more seconds to weigh in, and then I'll tell you which one is the right answer, and whoever gave this answer can have bragging rights for like two more days. Until Christmas. So a few more seconds. Okay, we've got eight people on in his service, nine people, six people on in hoc signo, which I'm probably saying wrong. All right, we're going to count down. 5, 4, 3, 2, and last chance to get your choice in. 1. All right, are you ready? The answer is... number two. Yes. Good job, Gail. Whoever those five now people. Someone waited till just the right moment to put that in. Four people have bragging rights, whoever you are. And So that is one of many ways that we write the name of Jesus. And so it's using one of the ancient languages. It's like the monogram or abbreviation for Jesus is IHS. You might also see it if you can see the IHC, or you might see the I as a J, or you might see actually that next symbol, which looks like an X and a P. And it is an X and a P. Those are Greek letters, that the X stands for Christ. And so that's also represents Jesus Christ. So whenever you see those weird letters and symbols together, it means Jesus. Pretty simple, actually. Nothing complicated. It's a reminder of Jesus and that name of Jesus in this world. And so you might see that in a number of places. You might also see a number of other names for Jesus. We call Jesus lots of different things. We know Jesus as the Prince of Peace, the Way, the Truth, the Life, the Holy One, the Gift of God, the Lamb of God, the Lamb of Israel, the Holy Child, the Good Shepherd. Jesus is known by many names, but there is one name above all names that is given. And I want to read that moment when that name was given in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 through 23. I'm going to be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. I want to invite you, if you've got your phone or your Bible and want to follow along, if you do go to that passage, you'll see that Joseph has just found out that Mary is pregnant. So he and Mary were engaged. He found out that his fiance is pregnant. He assumed what we would probably assume, which is that Mary had been, cheating on him with somebody. And Joseph was kind of a nice guy, so he could have proceeded in a number of ways. He could have slandered Mary. He could have put this all out for everyone to see. And what would have happened as a result is Mary might have even been killed. She would have been definitely ostracized from the community. It could have been very bad for her. He instead makes the decision to just quietly dismiss her, is what it says in Matthew. That he's going to quietly dismiss her and give her the opportunity to maybe cover it up or do whatever she needs to do. And it says in verse 20, but just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. For she will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. In that time, names were important. If you look through Scripture, time and time again, the names that people are given, usually they mean something important. And this name, above all names, has a very special meaning, that God saves. And it goes on to quote Isaiah, which we now have in the Old Testament. This child will be the Emmanuel, God with us. There is meaning and power in this name of Jesus. So much so that an entire section, an entire multiple verses is dedicated to how Jesus got his name. This important name above all names has special meaning to us still today. Do you know what your name means? Have you ever looked that up? So I have to ask you, what do Strawberry, Nutella, RoboCop, Metallica, and Chief Maximus have in common? This is really good. All right, all of these names are outlawed somewhere in the world. Do not name your child any of those names if you were about to have a child. At least in France or Denmark, you could actually be prosecuted for naming your child Strawberry. It's not allowed. When I was born, my parents named me Adrian. And it was about the same time. Have you all ever seen the movie Rocky? If you haven't seen it, there's a character named Adrian, and Rocky says, "Yo, Adrian!" And it's a pretty iconic moment. And if you ask my parents, they will say that they didn't name me after Adrian, but they happened to see the movie and think it was a cool name. So they went ahead and named me Adrian. When you look up the name Adrian, you're going to love it. The meaning, the official meaning, traditionally, it means dark or dark one. I don't know that my parents looked up the meaning before they named me that. And you can actually Google your name. Every name has some sort of historic background or meaning to it. I went through a period of time where I hated my name. I thought nobody else has the name Adrian, and I was going through this identity, you know, late elementary, early junior high. And so I told my parents that from now on, I was going to be known as Ariel. It lasted for like 2 weeks because, good or bad, I'm Adrian. Like, that name now has become whatever it was before. That name means me. It captures me, and it's hard for me to imagine myself and my identity aside from that name. And you might also feel the same way. Imagine yourself by any other name. It can be challenging to imagine. There was a little boy who started kindergarten, and it was his first day of kindergarten at a pretty big school. And so he went in on that first day, and he had a name tag. And the name tag said, "Fruit Stand." And the teacher thought, well, okay, that's a little weird, but I don't know, people name their kids weird things all the times. So all day, they really dedicated to that name. All right, Fruit Stand, you can do it. All right, Fruit Stand, it's time to go for lunch. Come on, Fruit Stand, catch up with the group. And throughout the day, they tried to really encourage it, so much so that they didn't even think about it. By the end of the day, it didn't seem that strange, you know, like saying Tommy or Bobby or any other name. And so at the end of the day, they're about to send him home. Now, all along, they're kind of thinking maybe this child is just really shy because they're saying Fruit Stand, and this little boy is not really responding or saying much. But, you know, kindergartners are kind of shy and quiet. And so they're getting ready to dismiss everyone. And so they say, "Fruit Stand, come here. What bus are you on?" And Fruit Stand doesn't say anything. In fact, doesn't really seem to hear them at all. And the way they had it set up is the name tags had on the back of them the bus route of the area where you were going to end up. And so they turn his name tag over, and it says Jimmy. They had been calling him by his bus stop all day long. It turns out names really matter, right? If you don't think so, imagine going by Fruit Stand all day. Names have meaning. They matter. But there is one name that matters more than all others. One name above all names. The name of Jesus. The name Jesus actually means God saves. And then in Matthew, when it goes on to say, "And he will fulfill prophecy because he will be known as the Emmanuel, God with us," what they are saying is that God saves through presence, by being with us. That salvation is found in being with God and knowing God through the person of Jesus Christ. It is an incredible name because it conveys so much of what Jesus still is to us today. Now, God has had a number of different names. If you look in the Old Testament, God is known by Adonai and Lord, but there is one name in 1 Samuel, YHWH. And it's just those letters because they believe that God's name was so holy, you couldn't fully speak it. And you really shouldn't even fully write it out. that you just wanted to give part of it so you knew who you were talking about. It was the name that shall not be named. And they don't even know. Today, we've lost the pronunciation because they couldn't say it out loud. It was too holy to say. So we say Yahweh. That's how we fill in the blanks today. But that's how they understood God. God was so holy, so big and distant and amazing and powerful. You couldn't even speak God's name. And then we have Jesus. And through Jesus, we have suddenly this understanding of God that can be named and known. They had a belief at that time when Joseph heard this good news. At that time, they often would not name babies until they'd been alive for a few weeks. It was pretty commonplace. And part of that was this belief that when you spoke someone's name, it kind of spoke their soul into their body. There's something kind of beautiful in imagining that, actually. But they thought, hearkening back to Genesis, when God creates the world with a word, they had this understanding that words were important and that you could speak something into being. And so when you named somebody, that was the moment when their soul would kind of enter in. And so for boys, they would often wait until maybe their circumcision, which could be days or even weeks after they were born, before they would officially have a name. It was a little bit easier that way because the infant mortality rate was so high, and so many babies died before they reached a couple of days or a couple of weeks old. And so here Joseph has just heard that Mary is pregnant, and even before Jesus is born, Jesus is named. And in fact, it's foretold, hundreds of years foretold, this baby who has been named and spoken into being all along, who in 1 John it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And Jesus hears this name, and suddenly, this baby, this idea, this really nothing, becomes something. Becomes real to him. And he can see and imagine this Savior who will come. This God incarnate with us. And it's so powerful. This name is so powerful to Joseph that he does a complete turnaround and decides to stick by Mary, to adopt and raise Jesus as his own. You might say that Joseph is the first convert. Because from that moment on, he's smitten. That name has such power, that name above all names. When we hear that name, we know God in a different kind of way. Have you all seen my very favorite movie, actually, Elf? If you haven't seen it, it's okay. Right? Is it fabulous? Do you love it? Yes. If you're not familiar with it, Elf is about a boy, a human being who is adopted by elves in the North Pole, and he's raised in the North Pole, and then as a grown man, he travels to New York City. And there's a little bit of a culture shock there as he tries to figure out how to live in, you know, New York City and tries to find his father. And in this scene, he is at, they call it Gimbel's, but it's really Macy's. It's a department store. And he just has learned some very important, exciting news. All right, so we're going to watch that clip.
Wow! What's this?
This is the North Pole.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. Where's the snow?
Why are you smiling like that?
I just like to smile. Smiling's my favorite.
Make work your favorite. That's your favorite, okay?
Okay.
Work is your new favorite.
Fine.
Time for the announcement.
Okay.
Okay, people, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God! Santa here? I know him. I know him.
He'll be here to take pictures with all the children.
Yeah.
Just keep your receipts. 10 a.m. tomorrow.
10 a.m. tomorrow.
Santa's coming to town.
Yes.
Can you sign this for me?
Oh, hi. Santa's coming.
So through Jesus Christ, we know God. And that name above all names, it could have that same power in us. What? What? Jesus is coming. I know him. I know him. In that movie, later on, Elf discovers it's not the real Santa. And he says, you sit on a throne of lies and smell like beef and cheese. And he knows that because when he encounters Santa, it's nothing like Santa, right? He knows Santa. He knows better. Well, through Jesus Christ, we know God, and we know what is right and what is wrong. We can look at Jesus to see that through Jesus, we have a God who would arrive humbly in a stable to a young girl who's not even married in an imperfect situation. And Jesus would come as a fragile little baby, not in a mansion, but in a manger. Through Jesus, we see God in this world, loving, acting, healing, doing amazing miracles. But ultimately, we see a God who would sacrifice, who loves us so much that God would sacrifice for our sake and suffer and die for us. That's a different picture of God than the Yahweh that we might have expected or imagined, that far-off God who doesn't care. We have a God who loves us so deeply that God would enter into our story. I mean, it's huge if you really think about it. And when we see other things, because we know Jesus, we know that's not God, because we know God. We know what God looks like because of Jesus Christ. We have a name for God in our lives. And in fact, it's incredible that for those of us who are lost and alone, we are adopted and given that very name. We know Jesus as the Christ today, and we who follow Jesus are known as Christians. It's no accident. We take Jesus' name. That power is embodied in us as a family and a people when we follow Jesus, when we claim that name. Now, Jesus isn't the first person to have had his name made into a symbol of some sort or some kind of icon. Just a few years ago, are any of you all familiar with Prince, the singer-songwriter? He sang Purple Rain. I'm not going to sing it for you. But Prince went through a period of time where he changed his name officially to this symbol. It had a number of different meanings for him, but it was unpronounceable. You can't say this symbol. It didn't have a name. And so people would just call him the artist formerly known as Prince in all of the different places. It's kind of an interesting story, though, actually. I don't know if you all have heard this, but he gave an interview about why he did that, and it seems kind of crazy and eccentric. But the reason he changed his name is actually that Warner Brothers, who he had a contract with them, and they had actually trademarked his name. And so they were making money off the name Prince. And he hated that. He felt like they had kind of stolen his name, and they were making money off of it and profiting off of it. And so he changed his name to something no one could pronounce, so no one can steal it. Well, we also profit off the name of Jesus. We don't profit by getting rich or famous. But for those of us who are lost, we are found. For those of us who feel alone, who wonder where God is in the world, we can see a God and know God through Jesus Christ. For those of us who are without a home and a family, we have a family through Jesus Christ. We are brought together as Christians in this worldwide body of Christ. It's pretty amazing. And in fact, you might say Jesus is the Savior still, not formerly, known as the Prince of Peace. Because we have a God who is still with us today, who is still present in this world when we embody and remember Jesus Christ. That precious name won Joseph over so many years ago. And it's tugging at our hearts still today, wooing us to know and understand our loving and abundant God. To help us reflect on that this week, every week I've had a different take-home. That's a different Advent to carry it into the week. And so I'm going to pass this around if you'd like to take one. I've got lots of them. If you missed a week, they're all outside the door on the shelf, and you can actually, you're welcome to get any other weeks you might miss too. You could sit down and do all of these in one sitting. It doesn't take long, but it's a little devotion, and for this week, it's a way to reflect on the name of Jesus, on what that word means to us today and how we understand and know it. So much meaning and power in those few little letters and that one sweet name. So as we enter into our time of prayer, as we close worship today, I invite all of us to reflect on that name, to open our eyes to God's presence, and to remember a God who loves us so much that God sent Jesus. So let us pray. God, I thank you so much that you are the kind of God who would enter into our stories, who would be made known in the person of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, God, that your love is so abundant and so constant that even though we have failed you as a people and as individuals, time and time again, we know we come up short. And yet you love us unconditionally, extending this incredible grace. I pray, God, that you would meet each and every one of us where we are. For those of us here who might not know that name of Jesus very well, I pray that it might take root in us, that that name above all names, that reminder of your presence and your salvation, that it might truly be known, and that for all of us, we might be your hands and feet to the world, a world hungry, hungry for that power and love. We thank you, God, for that name above all names. We thank you for Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.